Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Here we go. Into the Patriots Playbook for Wednesday, otherwise known as hashtag WTF Wednesday, which we have named it this year.
What's WTF stand for?
What's the focus Wednesday?
Gotcha.
And if you're not really sure what that voice might mean, I'm going to enlighten you in just a moment. Welcome into the Playbook. And today it is now going to be, because it is the bye week, Game Show Wednesday. So our focus today is Game Show Wednesday, and the gentleman who joins us, whose voice you just heard, if you were a relatively long-time listener to Patriots.com radio, although it's been a few years since he's been around, but once formerly a scribe for Patriots Football Weekly, and now the executive director of the Hall of Patriot Plays presented by Raytheon. Presented by Raytheon.
Good job.
Thank presented you. By Raytheon.
That would be Brian Morey. And we also have in studio with us somebody who just seems to hate us this year, but I guess there's really nothing we can do about his vitriol for the Playbook, Eric Scalavino.
I have nothing but love for the Playbook.
You know. Doesn't he hate everything?
He hates on everything.
He works with Paul and Andy. I think it rubs off.
I can't help what the media schedule gods have done to
me. I understand. And they actually played favorably with us today, which is one of the reasons why you're here with us. The pro football guru himself, Russell Baxter, he will be joining us here in approximately 10 to 20 minutes. And he'll spend some time with us here in the opening hour as the opening hour of our Wednesday program is Game Show Wednesday. It's something that we love to do every year during the bye week. If the Patriots are fortunate enough again this year to have another bye week before the playoffs get underway, we'll do it all over again because we had so much fun doing it the first time. Yeah, I know. We've got 7 weeks to go, but we'll pull our best Jim Mora and give us a little playoffs thing. This is how we play. First of all, we need you to participate. So you've got to pick up the phone today. We can't really do this by email. Certainly can't do it by Twitter. A little difficult as well to do it by Facebook. It's got to be the good old-fashioned pick up the telephone and give us a call. So if you've never had the opportunity to do that, now would be your chance. Because you can win fabulous prizes here, kids. 855-PATS-500. That's the number to call. Toll-free, 855-PATS-500. Now, we need a minimum of 4 participants in the program. 2 will play off against each other in the opening round. 2 will play off against each other in the second round. And then the 2 winners will clash for our championship on Game Show Wednesday.
So much pressure.
Oh, I know. Is it just you can't stand it, can you?
I can already feel my collar tightening.
It should. It should. So you've got to pick up the phone at 855-PATS-500 and give us a call. Now, in the opening round of the if you win your round before advancing to the finals, you'll win a copy of the Patriots yearbook / media guide. That's if you just win one round, you're going to win the media guide. Okay, if you win the championship today, you'll get a free year subscription to Patriots Football Weekly. So, you know, we like to, you know, make sure that everybody is up to date on everything. And if you haven't, maybe let's say, you, for instance, you have a copy already of PFW that you get every week. Well, then we'll send you 2 copies of the Playbook if we have to. Whatever it takes, but we want you to play, and we do have some incentive for you to play. Now, if you're wondering how we play the game before you pick up the phone and you call, anybody a fan of 1970s game shows?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Grew up on them.
When you were sick,
tic-tac-toe.
Stayed home from school. Okay, tic-tac-toe is a good one. Do you remember the name of the game show host?
Wink Martindale?
Very good! Ding, 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 ding. Or Dink Winkerson, as we like to call him. But that was an old Cheech and Chong, I believe, bit, where they called
themselves
Dink Winkerson. Newlywed Game with? Bob Eubanks.
Bob Eubanks, yeah.
Right.
And then there was the match game. Or what was the one with the guy at the long microphone?
That would be Gene Rayburn. Yes, and that's what we're going to play today, is we're going to play our radio version of the match game. So if you're a fan yeah, there you go. Well, we'll have the music coming up in just a moment for you so you feel all nice and original.
Excellent.
And it'll take you back about 35 to 40 years on those Wednesday afternoons that, you know, you were supposed to be home in bed sick from school, but you couldn't resist watching the match game during lunchtime. And you watch Charles Nelson Reilly, you know, who was one of the first really actors at the time to not give a damn if he was gay or not, but he was right out there, and he was out there in front of everybody.
Who was a woman that was on that show?
I remember that.
Brett Summers. Brett Summers was the woman set in the...
Hollywood Squares was a good one, too. Yeah. Yeah.
Hollywood Squares with... You remember the game show host?
Yes.
Peter Marshall.
Peter Marshall. Wouldn't have guessed that.
That actually was a stage name. You know what his real name was?
John Rook.
I think I knew.
Peter Lecoq.
I knew it was that. I was going to say that.
He had a son who played Major League Baseball.
For the Kansas City Royals.
For the Kansas City Royals.
I remember that. Yes.
That is very true.
How do we spell that?
But now you understand Lacock.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
But you understand why he went by the stage name of Marshall.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So
our show,
it would have been a more memorable name to remember if he had stayed with his own name.
It would have been very memorable. There's no question.
If you'd asked me who was the show, I would have said, oh, I remember that.
I actually knew Pete Lecoq. I just didn't want to say it.
Yeah, you knew that? You didn't want him to make a drop out of it.
Cox is pretty big in Rhode Island, right? Talk and take.
Thank you, Fred. Appreciate that. All right, so this is our radio version of Match Game. We have our star-studded panel, but what we need are contestants. So you've got to pick up the phone, and you've got to do it. And this is for the opening hour of the show. Hour number two, we'll get back to a little bit more of regulation football. We'll talk about the bye week. We'll talk about some superlatives. We'll talk about MVPs we started talking about yesterday. We'll take a look at week 10 around the NFL. We'll do a lot of different things in hour number two, and we'll open the email back up. We'll open the Twitter account back up. We'll open the Facebook account back up, even though they're open right now, but we just won't be paying any attention to them because we need to focus on the phone calls to bring you into the program. So this is how we play. We'll have our star-studded panel. I will ask a question. It will be up to you to decide the best way to answer the question by either filling in the blank or by making a choice of your answer. I will ask you to hold on to your answer until our panelists have a chance to vote on what they think would be the right answer. And by right, I'll put quotation marks around the word right. Because sometimes we like to have bawdy fun. That's B-A-W-D-Y. Bawdy fun, just like they did back in the 70s.
Not B-O-D-Y, was... but pronounced like it is in Boston.
Correct, bawdy. Yeah, it's like he got a bawdy chick.
Leave my bawdy alone.
Hey, Tommy, Bobby, check out her bawdy.
Hands off my bawdy.
It's wicked pissa.
Wicked pissa. So that's how we're going to play. We need you to participate. We've got one on board. We need a couple of more coming on board. We need four altogether. 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. If you'd like your shot at winning some prizes today, we'll have a little fun. The questions are all generally centered around the NFL and or the Patriots. And by questions, it's really more of a fill-in-the-blank. Like, I'll give you an example. Okay.
So I don't need to write this one down.
No, you don't need to write this one down, but I'll just give you a brief example just in case there may be some scratching the heads like going, what the hell is he possibly talking about today? Here's an example. I'll give you one. How about...
Fred Kirsch's head is so big.
How big is it?
It's so big. I don't know what else to say.
That's why you got to be a writer. No, it'll be a simple fill in the blank, like the Dallas blank.
Stars.
Okay. Or you could
Morning
go with,
news.
Or you could go with yeah. Cowboys. You know, yeah. I mean, that would be NFL related, but you certainly could come up with any answer you want. I mean, it's just going to be relatively easy. This is not what I would call brain surgery here.
Okay.
All right. So that's how we go.
Now I'm trying to compare the size of Fred's head to something.
It's not really hard
His
to do.
His friends call
it?
Him Barney Blank.
Okay. All right. Barney, yes. Blank. All right. We have our first couple of contestants, Kev. Is that correct? All right, so since Kevin is sort of our producer, director, Johnny Olson type, Maestro, why don't you hit it, and we'll be ready to go. He's going to find it.
That's it, yes.
Get ready to match the stars. Eric Scalavino. Bow. Brian Morey. And Kevin. John Collins, as we play the all-new, star-studded 2014 edition of Match Game.
He should do PA in the stadium or something.
Yeah.
And now, here's the host of Match Game, Gene Rayburn. You like that?
You know, Saturday Night Live is looking for a guy.
Yeah. Oh, that's bad.
Rook might have a future in this, you know?
No. I like being right here where I am. All right, our first couple of contestants. Believe it or not, he's back from exile in Valdosta, Georgia. Let's welcome into the program Big Al. Big Al, how are you today, my friend?
Very good. How about you there, John Rook?
We're great. So where the hell you been?
I've been working on my last name. I think I'm going to change it to Marshall.
Good answer. Fill in the blank.
It's
I like
busy.
It.
Yeah.
Why is his name John Lecoq?
May very well be. All right, Big Al, you ready to play this thing? And you ready to put together some witty answers for us all?
I'll do the best I can. I just want to make sure before we get going. I think I actually won at this 5 or 6 years ago. So. Has the statute run on that? Am I okay to?
No, I think actually, I believe you're, as I recall now that you bring that up, you might have indeed won at this a few years ago, but the statute of limitations is probably run out. So we'll give you an opportunity to compete again today.
And probably is Patriots Thank Football you. Weekly subscription.
Just so happened to coincide with his subscription running out. I like that. All right. Your opponent, Big Al, is going to be in Bowie, Maryland, and his name is Drew. Drew, how are you today?
I am wonderful.
Drew. Excellent. Drew, have you ever played our game before?
I have not. This is my first time calling in. I've been emailing again this year, but first time on.
Outstanding. All right. So here's how we're going to play, guys. To begin with, I'm going to ask the question. I'll give you a choice of either question A or B. If you have the first selection, you can pick either A or B. I will read the question, but please don't blurt out your answers, because what I want you to do is consider it for a while, and the stars here have their opportunity to fill in the blank first. Then when they ding in with their answer, then I will ask you the question again. And then you can give us your answer. We'll see how many you match. The idea, of course, is to match all three if you can, get a perfect score, move on to the next round, and have your chance at the grand prize. Does that sound easy enough?
Easy enough.
Okay, fair enough. Big Al, you ready to roll?
Four.
All right. Oh, shoot. Well, it looks like we just dropped Drew.
We'll get him back.
All right, we'll see. You know, I don't know if that you think that was the phone line, Kevin.
They're
the
not phone line problem.
Might have been.
All right, it's probably because we had some problems with the phone lines here. All right, Drew. So our apologies.
Drew, call back.
We need you to call back, buddy. If you can call back here in the next moment or two, then we'll put you right back on. And that could be very well him as we speak. Don't you just love how radio is so imperfect and you have to vamp and fill time and, you know, throw out ad libs and do all the great things that you need to do before. You can actually roll forward with your programming.
You're a professional. Make it look easy.
But silence is golden.
Silence is golden. It's very
it's not
golden.
In radio.
All right, we're good to go. All right. Big Ooh. Al, you're with us. I know Big Al's with us. You're right. You're there, Big Al?
Back with you.
All right.
And let's roll.
Drew and Bowie. You ready, Drew?
I'm back. Yep.
All right. Here we go. All right. Maestro, hit it. All right, since Big Al is technically our returning champion from 5 years ago, Big Al, I'm going to give you the first choice of questions today. So, will you go for question A or B?
Let me have A.
All right, A. All right, here we go. Here's the first one for you. The bank teller said, "I think there's something wrong with this dollar bill. Instead of having a picture of George Washington on it, it has a picture of... blank." All right, hold on to your answer. Think about it for a moment while our stars come up with their answers. The bank teller said, "I think there's something wrong with this dollar bill. Instead of having a picture of George Washington on it, it has a picture of..."
Ding, 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 ding.
All right.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. All three are in. All right, one more time. Here you go, Al. The bank teller said, "There's something wrong with this dollar bill. Instead of having a picture of George Washington on it, it has a picture of..." Who?
Hillary Clinton.
Okay. Well, seeing as we thought we were going into this contest by saying maybe we could do this with a little bit of a football theme. I'm not so sure, unless, of course, you think your face is like a football. I don't know. All right, so let's find out who the star is thing, because if they all three have, you know, Hillary Clinton's, I will walk out of this studio right now.
That will make for a lot of dead air for the rest of the program.
Absolutely. All right, Eric Scalavino, what say you? The bank teller said, I think there's something wrong with this dollar bill. Instead of having a picture of George Washington on it, it has a picture of...
Bill
Belichick. Belichick.
Yeah.
See, that would have been the answer we were kind of rooting for there, Big Al. You see how we're playing the game now?
I thought we were going for...
You were going for what?
Politician.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, but again, football is the kind of general rule of thumb here. Brian Morey, what do you got?
All right.
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick. See, I think you'd have hit
it's
the home
run. Dollar bill.
Yeah, dollar bill. Remember, I emphasized the word bill when I asked the original question. Dollar bill.
I didn't pick up on that.
Kevin?
I went with those new commercials, the Burger King cheeseburger ones where they have the guy holding the cheese. So I wrote a Burger King cheeseburger.
Burger King cheeseburger. All right, well.
Outside the box.
Outside the box thinking.
It's the first thing that popped into my mind.
Usually one of us has a weird outside the box answer anyway. So.
Usually. But those
bailing me out, Kevin.
Yeah, well, he definitely did that. but you didn't score anything, Big Al. So hang on there, and we'll let you hang on and listen to Drew in Maryland. And Drew has got question B in this particular instance. All right, Drew, here we go. You ready?
I am ready.
All right. Now that TB12 has had commercials with him wearing UGG boots, I wonder how long before some company decides to show him wearing a blank. Now that TB12 has had commercials with him wearing UGG boots, I wonder how long before some company decides to show him wearing a blank. All right, think about that, Drew.
Ding.
All right, Brian's in. The orchestra has got to take a little bit of a break.
Had to CBS catch its breath.
Catch its breath. All right, Kevin's in.
Kevin's multitasking over there.
He is. He's very good at this.
Writing.
He's very good at this, by the way.
Ding.
All right.
And I see TB12 on his computer screen.
All right, EK is in. Let's see. All right, one more time. Drew, now that TB12 has had commercials with him wearing UGG boots, I wonder how long before some company decides to show him wearing a what?
Prophylactic.
A prophylactic.
Whoa.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Get out of the gutter, Drew.
Wow. My goodness. Okay. Well, let's start with Kevin Collins and see if he came up with prophylactic.
I did not.
I kind of figured as much.
I came up with thong.
Thong.
I thought of that. I didn't write it. Well,
if you thought of that, I'm worried about you.
That's the thong answer.
I'm kind of worried about you there. All right. Eric Scalavino.
Well, I'm kind of along those lines. I figured his wife is a supermodel. Wouldn't be unheard of to see her in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Right.
So I went with bikini.
Bikini. See, now I actually, Eric, he's played our game before and clearly is showing his prowess now. Brian Morey, what's your answer?
Well, I thought about Tom, his appearance on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
I went with jockstrap.
Oh. Nice. Okay. That's actually not a bad answer either. All right. Well, Big Al and Drew have completely and totally messed this thing up. Scoreless after one round. So it's anybody's game as we go into round number two.
We've got an EPL soccer match brewing here.
We do. A nil-deal soccer match.
Men in Blazers.
What I was going to also say is now that we've played one round, if you would like to play in our second round.
It's a gladiator's out there, man. Not tennis players.
If you'd like to play in our second round, clearly one of these guys can be beaten rather easily. So pick up the phone.
Tennis players and stupid Hollywood hackers.
855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500 because we need a couple of more players after this round is completed. All right, back to Big Al. All right, Big Al, A or B?
Al. I'm going with B this time.
Okay. You're going to go with B this time. I like that. Okay, here
B
we go.
B for big, A for Al. So we went A first time, B this time.
All right, so B, here we go. Dumb Danny is so dumb.
How dumb is he?
Okay. Dumb Danny. One more time, guys. Dumb Danny is so dumb.
How dumb is he?
Thank you. He's been in the locker room so long, he's the only guy on the team with blank. Ooh. All right, think about it. Dumb Danny is so dumb. He's been in the locker room so long. He's the only guy on the team with blank. Got to think about it.
Yeah, this is a tough one, John.
I thought it was kind of, you know,
ding,
interesting. Dumb Danny is so dumb. Kevin's in with a dinger. He's been in the locker room so long, he's the only guy on the team with blank.
Man.
Big L's considering.
Hang on.
All right, hang on. We don't want the other two guys to ding in here before you give us your answer.
Ding?
Okay.
All right, there we go. Brian's in. Now we're waiting for
okay,
Eric.
Ding, ding.
All right,
ding.
He's in. All right, one more time. Dumb Danny is so dumb.
How dumb is he?
How dumb is he?
You guys are really fast. He's been in the locker room so long, he's the only guy on the team with what?
A pager.
A pager.
Oh, well, that's a good answer.
That's actually a pretty good answer.
Good answer.
We might give you half a credit for that one. But, you know, especially if we end up with a nothing score here.
Oh, my answer stinks.
All right.
Mine too.
All right. Well, Brian, I'm going to let you and your stinky answer go first this time. What do you got?
Belichick's home phone number.
That's not bad, actually.
That's actually pretty funny, but unfortunately, it's incorrect. I like that, though. Dumb Danny's so dumb. He's been in the locker room so long. He's the only guy on the team with what, Kevin?
A number 80 jersey.
A number 80 jersey. Ooh. Okay, I think I get that. Well, Troy Brown, I guess you can play off on that a little bit. And Eric, what say you?
Mine's lame. I went with just a Pat Patriot uniform.
A Pat Patriot uniform.
I think pager was the best
answer.
Pager was
pretty good, Al, but unfortunately, you have to learn to think like our numbskull panelists here, and if you don't learn to think like those guys, you're probably not going to score very big. Right?
That balances me out. I think my teammates let me down on this one.
They might have. But stand by, because if Drew in Bowie, Maryland does not come up with the correct answer, then we have to go to sudden death. Oh, my. That will be that'll be interesting. But, Drew, you got a chance now to steal it with one correct answer. You ready to go?
Deep breath, ready to go.
Woohoo! All right, here we go. You've got question A on this round, so here we go. The Patriots had a team-building practice today, and it included a tug-of-war. Instead of using a rope, though, they used a blank. Think about it. Patriots had a team-building practice today, and it included a tug-of-war. Instead of using a rope, however, they used a blank.
Ding.
All right, Kevin's in. I will be singing this song in my head for the next 24 hours.
This is tough, John.
Yeah, you've
I gave you a tough one.
Yeah,
here.
You did. Two in a row.
Well, but you know what, though? I figured you try to even out the... trust me, if we get into the sudden death, they'll be insanely easy, so... We're trying to provoke a little thought here.
All right, I got
ding,
one.
Yeah.
Ding.
Ding. Let's bring in Jeopardy while we're at it.
Ding.
Ding.
All right,
ding.
We're ready to go. All right, Drew, one more time. Patriots had a team-building practice today. It included a tug-of-war. Instead of using a rope, though, they used a...
Lock of Brandon Spike's hair.
Lock of Brandon Spike's hair.
That's pretty good.
That's
right.
Actually not bad. That's okay.
Bad.
You know, you get half a credit just like we gave Big Al half. But
right.
The question
points.
Is, however,
style
you do
points.
Yes, you get a style point, but you got to match one of these guys. So, all right, Eric Scalavino,
yes.
You get the first shot at it here.
Yep, I stayed with the whole AFC East rivalry thing, though, and I said... A Jets jersey.
Nice. Okay. Instead of using a rope, though, they used a Jets jersey.
Mm. Pull it apart, you know?
I understand.
You know,
yeah, you want to rip it to shreds. Yeah. Brian Morey, what do you say?
I said a Logan Mankins doll.
See, now, I got to give Morey some credit here. He's got all the creative juices beginning to flow a little bit. All right, Kevin, what you got?
I wrote a jock strap.
That's also a good one, too. And I think Kevin's clearly got jock strap
that's
on the brain here.
Jockstrap answers
that's two jock strap answers
round.
For
no,
you.
No, I had the other jock strap.
For round three.
He had thong.
Oh, that's right. You had the jock strap. Wow. All right, well, guess what, though? We're still tied at nil-nil, which means we need to go to sudden death.
Yeah.
All right, so we got a sudden death round here. Each of you are going to get one more question, and then we'll see who has the most after the round. And, Drew, we're going to change it up, and you get to go first here. All right, A or B?
A.
All right, here we go. Name something you can do with a referee's whistle. Think about it. Don't give it out.
Okay.
Ding.
Name something you can do with a referee's whistle.
Ding.
Ding.
All right. 1, 2, 3. Ding, ding, ding. Drew in Bowie, Maryland. Name something you can do with a referee's whistle.
play the Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, for the love of God.
We're laughing with you, not at you. Okay. All right, fellas.
I got kids. My kids walked in, so I have to kind of clean things up.
Oh, I understand. Okay. Well, but I mean.
Idiot.
Kevin, what you got?
Blow it.
Yes, you can blow it. Brian, what can you do?
Blow it.
Blow it. Eric, what
it's
can you
unanimous.
Do?
It's unanimous. Blow it.
Drew, it seems like you
blew it.
I blew it.
Such an idiot.
But stand by, because Al might also do the same thing.
Right.
All right, Al, here comes your easy one. Stephen Ridley always puts butter on his blank. Hang on. Stephen Ridley
ding, ding.
Always puts butter ding. On his...
Be nice.
Ding.
Oh, since we're going with the obvious...
Are we all... Wait, hold on. Are we all dinged in?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here you go, Big Al. What do you got?
Butter on his bread.
Butter on his bread. Wow. It's taking these guys a little time here to kind of pick up on the... All right.
Try it again.
Eric, what do you got?
Got to give Al credit here. I went with toast. I was being nice.
Are we giving him a match?
I think that counts.
That counts.
Okay. Big Al, you're going to advance somehow, some way. Brian, what did you have, by the way?
Oh, I did that.
Balls,
yeah. Stephen Ridley always puts butter on his balls.
I wrote hands.
And you put hands, okay. Well, I was kind of going down the gutter with Brian Morey. But, Big Al, guess what? You won. You won.
So let's put him on hold and keep him on the line.
So if you can hang on for a few minutes, we're going to advance you into round number two for the championship. So Big Al is a winner.
Footballs, by the way, I meant. Footballs.
Of course. What else would we possibly mean? Drew, thanks for playing the game, pal. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So
you got it.
So, John, I got an idea here.
Yes.
Here's what we do. We execute this next round right now between Dave in Connecticut and Nick in Boston.
Okay.
With the three of us.
Yep.
And then I'll get our guru on the line. Russell Baxter, and he will take my place as the third
for the championship
for the
round.
Championship round.
Perfect.
Does that work?
Yes,
perfect.
Works for me.
Let's do it.
Works for me. All right.
I like that you call him a guru.
The next round. Well, that's what he is. ProFootballGuru.com. That's where he is. That's where you can find him. All right. So now we have Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia, moving into the finals against either Nick from Boston or Dave in Connecticut. Here's Nick in Boston. Hey, Nick, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Great. You ready to play?
Yeah.
All right. And let me make sure that he's all locked in here. And we got Dave in Connecticut. Hello, Dave.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great. Make sure you're up close to the phone receiver, wherever you are, because we have you faintly, Dave.
Okay, got it.
All right. So let's start now with Dave in Connecticut, since he was the second one we brought on the show. Dave, I'm going to give you your first choice here with either question A or B.
Let's go question B.
Question B for Dave in Connecticut. All right, here we go. Did you see who showed up at practice? Rex Ryan announced he was going to coach the team. When he made his announcement, blank picked him up and threw him into the stands. Did you see who showed up at practice? Rex Ryan announced he was going to coach the team. When he made his announcement, blank picked him up and threw him into the stands. All right, Dave, think about it for a moment. And let's see what our panelists
ding.
Have to say. There's one.
Ding.
Ding.
There's two and three. All right, one more time, Dave. Rex Ryan announced he was going to coach the team. When he made his announcement, who picked him up and threw him into the stands?
Fireman Ed.
Fireman Ed picked him up and threw him into the stands. Going clearly with the Jets angle. All right, not bad. Brian, what do you got?
Darrell Revis.
Picked him up and threw him into the stands. That's a good one. That's Eric?
Good. I went with Gisele Bündchen.
It's okay. That's all right.
She threw Wes Welker into the stands.
She would.
I went with,
yes, Kevin.
Popular from Hard Knocks, John Connor, the Terminator.
John Connor, the Terminator. I like that one, too. All right. No correct answer, Dave, but hang on because you will advance into round number two here. Yes. Something with feet. I don't know. It's coming to mind right now. Nick in Boston. Hey, Nick. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Question A for Nick in this particular instance. Make sure I've got one here. Oh, okay. Here we go. Mr. Kraft said, "I don't know about you, but I think Tom and Vince are blank." Mr. Kraft said, "I don't know about you, but I think Tom and Vince are blank."
Ding.
Think about it. We got one.
Ding.
We got two. Yeah, see? Now that you've written one answer down, you're kind of like going, do I really want to say that? What do you mean? What do you possibly mean by that?
Okay.
No?
Okay. Ding. All right. Nick.
That's kind of boring.
Mr. Kraft said, I don't know about you, but I think Tom and Vince are...
I had a way of who I was going to say this.
Romance?
Tom and Vince are in a solid bromance.
Are in a bromance. Okay. That's acceptable. That's acceptable. And clean. Cleanly put. All right.
Yeah.
Bromance is Nick's answer. Eric, what's your answer?
I just went that they're both very special.
They're special. All right, judges say no, that's not a match, but a good try though. Kevin, what do you got?
I went with captains.
Captains. Honestly, that's kind of where I was headed with this thing, but okay, because that's probably too obvious. Brian, what do you got?
I said like family.
Like family. Kind of like what Eric was saying. Special.
We're all Patriots.
Tom and Vince are special.
And tonight.
All right, Nick, since you came up a cropper on that one. Shoot. We're still tied at 0-0 into round number two. We're just tearing it up here, aren't we? Well, may have to rethink this format a little bit. All right, Nick, you get first choice, A or B?
I'm going to go with A.
A. All right, here we go. Tom and Giselle were the strangest couple on the dance floor. While everyone was dancing cheek to cheek, they were dancing blank to blank. Tom and Giselle were the strangest couple on the dance floor. While everyone was dancing cheek to cheek, they were dancing
ding
blank to blank.
Ding.
There's two dings. Waiting on the third ding-a-ling.
Ding.
There it is. All right, Nick, here you go. Tom and Giselle, man, they were a strange couple on the dance floor. While everyone was dancing cheek to cheek, they were dancing...
Ugg to ugg.
Ugg to ugg. That's actually not bad.
I'm not
That's
that
actually
creative.
Pretty good. I'm not that creative either. That's actually not
Wish
bad.
I had thought of that.
Ugg to ugg. That's pretty good. All right. Brian Morey, you get to go first.
Ass to ass.
Or butt cheek to butt cheek. That would have been the good one. I think I probably would have come up with butt cheek to butt cheek. Eric, what do you got?
I kept it a little cleaner than Brian did, but I said back to back.
Back to back. That would have been also very good.
What, can we not say ass?
I literally went ass to ass. The ass same to exact ass? Thing as Morey did.
Because I've heard Fred say some things on this show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah.
That are way worse than that.
So well,
that
blank Willow.
We had two minds in the gutter, but unfortunately,
who's
it didn't match our contestants.
Yeah.
It didn't.
I'm thinking about a four-letter word that starts with F. Perillo did that, too.
Oh, everybody's done that at one time or another. I haven't done that, though, yet. All right, Dave,
it's
in Connecticut.
A fun fact.
Oh, yes, fun fact. All you need to do is match one, and it's you and Big Al in the championship. I hope it's not too much pressure on you. All right, you get question A here. Here we go. here we go. Did you know that Stephen Guskowski is a fantastic violinist? He doesn't use a bow, however. Instead, he strokes his violin with his blank. Did you know Stephen Guskowski is a fantastic violinist? He doesn't use a bow.
Ding.
Ding.
Instead, he strokes a violin with his...
Hand.
With his hands. Okay, with his hands.
Okay.
All right. Eric, what do you got?
Well, since kickers are useless without their holder, that's what I went with.
With his holder. Hulk strokes his violin with his holder. Placeholder. Yeah, that makes sense. Too much sense for this group. Kevin, what do you got?
I wrote foot.
With his foot. That's actually a pretty good one, too. And Mr. Morey?
His penis.
Just all pretense has been thrown out the window.
Just blurred it right out. I like that. Guess what?
It's Astor and Hollywood Squares.
I know. We'd be sending the CBS censors all over the place right now.
Stroke.
CBS scene censors.
Especially if this were the 1970s.
You were talking about stroking.
Okay. Well, seeing as we've tied 0-0-0.
You should know I got a little wiener.
We have all the great, sexual innuendo drops to get in here during Game Show Wednesday. All right, we're going to have to go with a sudden death here, Big Dave. All right, A or B?
A.
We'll go with Abe.
All right, here you go. Fill in the blank. Oh, boy. Vince loves to pour gravy on his blank. Hang on. Before you give the answer, let the guys come up with an answer.
Ding.
Vince loves to pour gravy on his blank. Hang on. I got one. Do we get two?
No,
not yet. Waiting on Eric and Brian. We're really taxing
the brain.
Oh, you gave me a ding?
Yeah, he did.
Kevin, are you dinging? No, he hasn't dinged yet. All right, he's thinking about it. Yeah, see, sometimes now that we've gone into about six rounds here.
Yeah.
I know what I want to say, but I can't.
I just said penis.
Too.
Yeah,
but yeah, no,
exactly.
I'm not going to go there.
I still want him coming after me. He knows I work down here.
What? Oh, yeah.
He knows I work down here. He comes down here every Monday.
Yep. You really think he's listening to Game Show Wednesday?
He might.
On the podcast.
That's true. You could be listening to it on the podcast.
I don't want to be on the hit list.
No. That's one man you probably would not want to. No.
Okay. Ding.
Okay.
Ding.
All right, here we go. Dave, Vince loves to pour gravy on his...
Biscuits!
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
That's not a bad one.
That's the obvious one.
I like it. Pour gravy on his biscuits. All right, Kevin, what you got?
I wrote tongue.
Tongue? Just pour it right down the gullet, right? in his gullet, or on his gullet. Brian, how about you?
Well, I was thinking turducken, but I just wrote turkey, figuring, you know, he might get it, but...
Thanksgiving.
Turkey.
Turkey.
Because when was the last time he ran this thing? He got to eat the turducken.
That's right. Yeah. They did. Eric, are you going to save us?
No. I went with a little hazing, a little rookie hazing. So I said he likes to pour gravy on his rookies.
On his rookies. Okay. Well, seeing that Dave and Nick are still alive with each other, we've got to go to double secret probation death. Oh, man. This is going to get difficult here. Nick, you get the first choice here, A or B.
I'll go with B.
All right, here we go. Robert Blank. Robert Blank. Robert Blank. Or...
Ding.
Robert Blank.
Yeah, ding.
We got two? We get them all?
Yeah.
All right, three dings. Here you go. Nick, Robert...
Kraft.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I didn't think of that.
You know, I'm not sure I would have thought of that.
Spirituality.
We are all patriots.
Eric, what do you have?
RKK.
RKK. Wow, there's one. There we go. The judges are in.
Gallery.
Yes.
Robert Gallery.
Wow. Robert Gallery?
Wow.
Come on, Maury.
Wow.
What the hell
is different.
That? Oh, that's a buzzer.
I went with Robert Edwards.
Robert Edwards, former Patriot running back.
Robert Gallery spent some time in camp here, didn't he?
I believe
he did.
I believe
he
actually did.
Only camp.
Nick, you scored one, so that's pretty good, right?
Wasn't it sudden death?
Yeah.
Well, but
thank you, Robert.
But the other guy gets a chance in sudden death. That's just the way we play the game. So the other guy gets a chance. If he has to score,
it's not so sudden.
He has to score two.
Did Drew get a chance in sudden death?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did, and he did not score in that round.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the new overtime rules in the NFL.
Gotcha.
Yeah, each side gets
right? Everybody gets a shot because somebody scores. All right, Dave, here you go. You ready? Tom Blank.
He said his answer.
Did you say your answer, Dave?
So he did, so we can't use it.
Oh, Dave, you gotta wait till the other guys come into play here.
That's right, my bad.
Oh, goodness.
I was writing Bergmeier.
I'm basically handing you here on a silver platter, Dave.
Such an idiot.
All right. I got another one for you. See if you can handle this one, and keep it quiet until the other guys answer.
Okay.
All right. Buffalo Blank. All right. Buffalo.
Ding.
Ding.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
A ling. All right, Dave. Buffalo what?
Bills.
Buffalo Bills. All right, what do you got, Kev?
I went with wings.
Buffalo wings. All right, you got to get these two right. What do you got?
Wings.
Wings! Eric?
Ding-a-ling, I went
wings! Oh, no!
He loses! He should have got three on that one.
Oh, he could have gone three for three, and instead... Oh, my goodness,
I
Dave.
I just really like buffalo wings.
Dave, I can't explain
hey,
these
boss,
guys.
You're a loser!
Yeah.
I can't say Bills.
But Dave, thank you very much for playing.
All right, guys.
Oh, my. Nick in Boston, I don't know how you did it, buddy. But you're in.
That's a miraculous turn of events.
That isn't a miraculous turn of events. There's no doubt about that.
I'm sure I'd be done.
Oh, my goodness gracious. But you're still with us. All right, so we've got Nick in Boston versus Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia, as our contestants for the finals, for the championship. Nick, let me put you on Boston while we bring on our third member of the panel here, coming on in just a couple of moments, as we're making our call now to the pro football guru himself, Russell Baxter. Well, after we're done with the championship final, by the way, we'll spend a little time talking this week in the NFL with Russell. He'll be on today's program as opposed to tomorrow's program. If you're tuning into the podcast and hoping to hear him on a Thursday, we're going to come up with Russell today so we don't have to just completely deluge him with, you know, our time here today. Brian's going to stick around as well. But Big Al has already won a yearbook. Nick in Boston has already won a yearbook, and now we're playing.
So neither one of you hang up, no matter who wins this.
Yeah, because all we want you to do is, if you win this, then you can have your choice. You can get a playbook again, although I don't know if you'd want that or not, or you can have the year subscription to Patriots Football Weekly Magazine. Either way, whether you win or you lose, hang on after we're done here. Kevin will get your address because you're both winners here today. So it was really that easy, although you kind of put us through great pains to get this far into the championship round. Some real work here today. All right, we have found our guru himself, Mr. Russell S. Baxter himself, who joins us as one of our stars for Match Game 2014. Russell, how are you today?
Feeling very Charles Nelson Riley-like.
Riley-like? Yeah, I see you more as a Richard Dawson type.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, you know, you're the one that always likes to kiss the babes, you know, at the Family Feud and all that kind of stuff, right?
Well, when you grow up with eight brothers and sisters, you know, you get a lot of practice when it comes to affection and hugs and kisses. And, you know, it's 15 minutes just to say hello to immediate family in my house.
That's
what life is all about.
You're a little more like Richard Dawson. There's no doubt about that.
Who hosted the Gong Show?
That was Chuck Barris.
Chuck Barris, that's right.
See, we're coming up with old game show hosts. Now, my own personal favorite was Gene Rayburn, although I'm a big fan of Wink Martindale, Bob Eubanks, who Brian has also mentioned as well. Chuck Barris did the Gong Show. Remember, Art Fleming did the original Jeopardy.
Yeah, that's right. I have two favorites.
Okay.
Chuck Woolery. I just like to say Wink Martindale.
That is a great TV name.
It just epitomizes game show.
Yeah, it did.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But one of my favorites was Hugh Downs when he did Concentration.
Concentration, before he became Mr. 2020 on ABC decades later.
My third game show host, and I think I've told you this before, was Bill Cullen.
Bill Cullen did Password.
He would be a host, but he'd also be a panelist on To Tell the Truth.
Yes.
And What's My Line? He was very funny. He was incredibly intelligent. He was a real talent, and he never took himself too seriously. You know, like, he'd laugh at himself and have fun.
Kind of like Alex Trebek.
Yeah.
Bill
Cullen was fun. He was, I think, guys like that, like him and like Red Skelton. I loved watching Red Skelton because Red Skelton would
suck it, Trebek.
He just laughed. He was having a good time doing what he was doing. I have a good time doing what I'm doing. Maybe that's why I relate to people like that. It
could very well be the case. I'm trying to think. The original prize. Oh, Monty Hall. Remember Monty Hall from the original? Let's make a deal. Bob Eubanks from the Newlywed Game.
And Jim Lang from the Dating Game.
Jim Lang from the Dating Game. Of course, it was later Chuck Woolery,
Two and Two, right?
Yeah, that was, he did the.
How about was that show? No whammies, no whammies. Stop. What was that show called?
That was Press Your Luck.
Press Your Luck.
And that was Peter Tamarkin.
Wow. And I would have never come up with that.
Peter Tamarkin. What? What'd you say, Russell?
Jack Barry.
Jack Barry was another game show host from back in the 1950s and 60s.
Joker's Wild.
But as historians will also know, also part of the game show scandals.
Oh, yeah.
For people who have never seen the movie Quiz Show.
Yeah, Quiz Show. That's right.
With Ray Fiennes.
Fascinating movie done by Robert Redford with Ray Fiennes. Yep. And I'm trying to remember the actor's name who plays Herb Stemple. Boy, is he. I mean, he's brilliant. It's a very, very good movie.
It's a great movie.
About how they, in essence, rigged the quiz shows for entertainment value.
Correct.
And it became a whole big government issue.
$64,000 question. That's exactly right.
A great movie. A really good Robert Redford movie.
I actually saw that on the satellite not too long ago, so I think you can get it even pay-per-view. All right, I think Eric has stumped me.
Yeah, Joker's Wild.
Joker's Wild, was that?
I don't remember. That's what I'm trying to, I'm asking.
Joker's
Wild.
I used
to watch the show, but I can't remember who the host was.
Somebody's going to Google that. Brian's going to Google
it. Joker's Wild for a while.
Johnny Jacobs, Jay Stewart, Charlie O'Donnell.
Jay Stewart,
all
I think I remember.
Of them did that?
Yeah, they all hosted it at one time.
Wow. Jack Barry did Joker's Wild.
I think you're right. Jack Barry
Jack
did
Barry
do the original.
It.
There you go. Ding, ding, ding. I thought so. Jack Barry was the original Joker's Wild host.
By the way, one of my mother's favorite shows, God rest her soul, Dick Clark and the $25,000
Pyramid. Also a very good game show.
Jack Barry hosted it until his death in 1984.
How about that?
Right. Jack Barry, after this quiz show scandals, kind of, I think, disappeared for a little bit.
Yeah, he was a part of that, you know,
right.
at the time.
He disappeared, yeah. and then he came back. And by the way, let's not forget Bob Barker not only doing the
Price is Right.
Mm-hmm. Also, for a while, Truth or Consequences.
Truth or Consequences. That's a name from the past, too. Old game shows. All right. I'm sure we
I'm
can sit.
I'm an old person.
As we all are. All right, Russell.
My name is Russell. I'm the oldest of the scouts.
Yeah, we didn't bring that in today.
What
all right.
was that show where they had to guess whether the cards were higher or lower? Card Sharks, maybe?
Card Sharks.
Card Sharks?
That was Bob Eubanks, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yes, I believe that was also Bob Eubanks, host of Card Sharks. You can see now that in a former life, I was a game show host. Maybe in a future life, I'll be a game show host again. So this is my one way to fulfill my childhood dream and be
Which
a game show
a little
show
more
host.
Hairspray, you'd be golden.
Thank you. Probably need to put a little, you know, shoe black or something under here, too.
I see you as having the long, thin microphone, too.
Like Gene Rayburn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holding it
John Rook's microphone was so big.
How
long,
big
long.
Was it?
Yeah.
So long.
All right. All right, Russell. We're going to play match game here. Our two contestants are Nick in Boston, Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. So I'll put Russell on hold so he can hear here. Let's see if I can maneuver all of our keyboard here. Big Al, since you've been holding the longest, you get question A or B.
I'll be happy.
All right, we're going with B. Here we go. Okay. The great Bradini also doubles as a discount fortune teller. Instead of gazing into a crystal ball, he gazes into a blank. All right, think about it, Big Al.
Think about it.
The great Bradini also doubles as a discount fortune teller. Instead of gazing into a crystal ball, he gazes into a blank.
Ding.
Ding.
Okay. And there's Russell. Hello, Russell.
I'm here.
Okay.
Did you ding?
Did you ding?
Oh, I'm sorry. Ding.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. All right. Very good. All right. So one more time, Big Al. This is for you. The great Bradini also doubles as a discount fortune teller. Instead of gazing into a crystal ball, he gazes into a... What? Come on.
He's into a men's fashion catalog.
Into a men's fashion catalog. Whew. All right. Well, Russell, I'm going to give you the first chance to, I'll put it to you this way. If you can match this one, we'll all walk out and we'll let Big Al be the champion.
Big Al, you're going to be feeling pretty small. I say playbook.
Playbook. Okay. Considering that that's the name of this show, that would obviously be, you know, one of those quote-unquote obvious answers. But, okay, I understand where you're going with that. Incorrect. Mr. Morey, what say you?
Well, I took out the article A.
Yes.
And I said Giselle's Eyes.
Giselle's Eyes. Gave you to Giselle's Eyes. That's actually a pretty good one as well. Mr. Scalavino.
I changed my answer after I came up with the first one, and I changed it to playbook.
Playbook. See?
Well.
Big Al, if you'd been thinking playbook, and I realize you haven't made an appearance yet on the program this year, but if you'd been thinking that way, maybe a previous appearance would have helped get you there today with a correct answer or two. That's just my way of needling you, my man. All right, Nick in Boston. It's now your question. You get question A. Oh, boy. All right, well, this is next up. Here we go. What's big and green and covered with fuzz? The answer? The Jolly Green blank. What's big and green and covered with fuzz? The ding. Answer? The Jolly Green blank. All right, there's one ding.
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 There's two. There's three. All right, Nick. What's big and green and covered with fuzz? The Jolly Green...
Rex Ryan.
The Jolly Green Rex Ryan. That's pretty good. I like that. That's not bad. Okay. The Jolly Green Rex, Jolly Green Grind, Jolly Green Jet Coach, whatever you want to call it. That's actually not too bad. We'll start it off with Brian Morey.
I wrote Jet.
Jolly Green Jet.
I almost wrote Rex Ryan.
Yeah, Jolly Green Jet. Sounds to me like that would have been the definitive answer, Nick, but let's see what Eric says.
I went with Jolly Green Jets fan.
Jolly Green Jets fan. Well, he's maybe working closer. Mr. Baxter.
Well, this would be considering if there was a disturbance, but I said Central Park.
Jolly Green Central Park? Okay, no.
Green and covered with fuzz.
Yeah, and covered with fuzz. I get it, but unfortunately an incorrect answer. All right, well, let's see, fellas.
0-0.
0-0 after the first round.
That's
so,
the theme of today's program.
Yeah, 0-0, I know. I guess sometimes I'm
we're
just
all a bunch
trying
of zeros.
To be, we're trying to be too clever. We're out clevering our audience.
I tried to go simple there.
Nick, I'm going to give you your first choice, A or B.
Go with A.
A it is. The doctor said, this man I'm operating on, he must be a patriot. When I reached in to pull out his appendix, I got a blank instead. The doctor said, this man I'm operating on, he must be a patriot. When I reached in to pull out his appendix, I got a blank instead. All right, Brian's dinged.
Ding.
Ding.
There's two. There's three. All right, here you go, Nick. One more time. The doctor said, this man I'm operating on, he must be a patriot. When I pulled out his appendix, I got a what instead?
A Belichick hoodie.
A hoodie. Okay, a hoodie. That's not bad. That's a pretty good answer. It's about as good as I think I could have come up with this particular instance. All right, Eric Scalavino. This doctor pulled out a blank instead. What did he pull out?
I said a Super Bowl ring.
A Super Bowl ring. Mr. Mooring?
I said a cliche.
A cliche.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that's actually a good one. All right, Mr. Baxter.
I said a mini football.
A mini football. Yeah, well, all good answers. I think we're starting to get the gist of it. Unfortunately, we're not matching our contestants. So, Big Al.
Patriots play this week, so we have plenty of time.
That's also true. Big Al, all you need to do is match one here, brother, and you're the champ.
Okay.
All right. So, to keep us from going into double secret probation overtime, you get question B. And here we go. Tom said to Bill, don't ever tell anyone that I wear a blank. Hang on. Don't give it yet.
Ding.
Tom said to Bill, don't ever tell anyone that I wear a...
Ding.
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 And three dings. All right, Big Al, for the championship here, Tom said to Bill, don't ever tell anyone that I wear a...
Well, I'm going to dig up the one that was thrown around before, thong.
Thong? Well, let's see if one of our guys managed to do that again, although Kevin is not actually a part of the panel on this particular round.
But he knows all the answers already.
That's exactly right. Russell, what do you got?
Hoodie.
Hoodie. Okay. Yeah, that's actually a pretty good one, too. Kind of like the last one. You kind of get the theme that we're going with here? It's taking everybody a while to come up with this today. What the hell is wrong with you people? Brian?
A garter.
A garter?
It's like Bull Durham.
That's what I was thinking about.
That's right. Eric?
I was on the same page as Russell Baxter. I said hoodie.
Hoodie. Wow, this is just embarrassing.
What did Al say?
He said thong.
Oh, thong.
Kevin can be there, obviously, to offer insight.
No.
Yeah, well.
That's the thong answer.
Yeah, that's the thong answer. All right, guess what?
Thong should be the garter.
All right, we're going to give each of you now an extra question. Whoever scores the most is going to be the champ. Big Al, here you go. This could be for it all. The New York blank. Hold on. Wait for it. The New York blank. Panelists?
Ding.
Ding.
And one more ding. The New York blank. The New York blank. The New York blank. Whichever way you want to put the emphasis on the syllable.
Has everyone dinged?
Russell, did you ding?
I dinged.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't hear you. All right, Big Al. The New York
Well, I think you want to go with the obvious, so I'm going to go with the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
The New York Jets. Okay. Well, that's probably at least a safe bet, but I think you could probably go many different directions with this one. Mr. Baxter, what was your choice?
The Jets.
The Jets! That's one. Brian?
I'll never write the Jets. I wrote the Giants.
I kind of knew
that's
you were going
that
route.
That's almost as bad around here.
I know. Biggie?
I went with Russell again.
Jets. He went with Jets, too. All right, Al,
point.
You scored two. So for Nick to win, he must score three. You ready, Nick?
Or send it to double overtime.
Or send it to double secret probation overtime. All right, here's your correct answer. Or here's your question. You got to fill in the blank. You ready?
Yep.
Miami blank. Miami blank.
Ding.
Miami blank.
Ding. Ding.
Russell?
Heat.
Okay. Was that your answer?
Yes, ding. I said ding.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And then I said something else.
Oh, what? Okay, what was the something else you said what? Then?
Can he hear?
No.
Oh, yes. I said heat.
Miami Heat.
He can't hear?
No. Oh, yes, he can.
Yeah, I can.
I was like, what are you doing?
No, that's...
And you called my name, so I thought you wanted me to answer.
No. Sometimes this happens, and I just wanted to make sure that you had dinged in. Don't worry, that's my fault. It's my bad. We'll scrap the question.
Scrap that question.
I said vice, by the way.
You said vice, yeah?
I did, too.
You said vice, too.
I would rather slam dance butt naked with a porcupine than go through that again.
Wow.
The porcupine.
That's something you only hear down in Texas.
That just tells me we've been doing this a little too long today.
This is going to be Indianapolis blank.
All right. Nick was probably going to say Dolphins anyway, weren't you, Nick?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So you got a reprieve here. All right, here we go. One more time. This is for all the marbles, okay? Ready?
Gotcha.
The Denver blank. Or Denver
ding.
Blank.
Ding.
Ding, ding, and?
Ding.
Okay, all three. Nick, for the money, what do you got? The Denver?
Broncos.
All right.
Of course.
Russell, we'll start with you.
I was tempted to go omelet, but I went Broncos.
I think I would have answered omelet, to be honest with you. All right, that's one. Brian, what do you got?
I was tempted to go Nuggets, but I went Broncos.
Broncos, that's two. If Eric Scalavino makes it a complete sweep, Nick in Boston is our champ.
I went post.
Oh, my!
Double secret probation overtime.
I vote we fire Eric from the panel.
Sucky, all right. Sucky.
Oh. He just doesn't want to go back to work upstairs.
No, he does not.
I have to go to the locker room, actually.
He wants this thing to go on even further.
Nah,
all right, go to the room.
We got one more round. All right, hang on. Here we go. Nick, you'll go first.
It's Thriller. Sure. Cliffhanger.
All right, here's your question. Philadelphia blank. Philadelphia blank. Or Philadelphia blank. Don't give your answer yet. Philadelphia. I know which I actually know what I would answer on this.
I know I'm living on a prayer.
A ding.
Yeah.
Ding.
Ding. All right. Here you go, Nick. Fill in the blank. Philadelphia.
Eagles.
Okay. That's a good one. I would not have answered that, but that's okay. Let's see. All you got to do now, because we've wiped the slate clean, all right? You're still tied 2-2. Let's see how many you get here. Eric, what do you got?
I went with my stomach, and I said cheese steak.
That would have been my answer, cheese steak.
I just gave my Bon Jovi hint. I went with the Philadelphia soul.
Soul? Oh. Russell Baxter?
Philadelphia cream cheese.
Cream cheese.
Cream cheese?
Wow.
Oh, yeah, the brand. Cream cheese. That's right, the brand.
All right, Nick, doesn't look good, but hang on because we need you anyway. Big Al, all you need to do is match one here, and you're the champ. You've been handed a big-time reprieve, and I know that this is what we would call a hard-earned victory. But you still have to get one right, because if you don't, then this is quadruple secret probation overtime.
I think it should send us your books.
Probably should. We're going to make you guys send us all your books. Here we go. Roger Blank. Hang on. Hang on, Big Al.
Ding.
There's one ding.
Ding.
And Russell, you dinged, right?
I ding.
Thank you. All right, Big Al. Roger Blank.
Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell. Okay. I don't know that I would answer that one myself because I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. I probably would have said Roger Dodger, but that's just me. What did you have, Brian?
Staubach.
Staubach! What do you think, Brian?
Eric. You called me Brian.
Oh, Brian. Duh. Brian, that was Brian. Eric.
I thought like Brian and yes. like you, and I went with Staubach.
Staubach. All right, Mr. Baxter, for the marbles.
I was tempted to do Rabbit, but I went Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens.
And the game continues.
Wow.
College football game.
This is a this is the equivalent of a quadruple overtime.
Yep.
Nobody can get. I don't know how much easier they can get. Yes, Big Al.
Can I just forfeit?
You want to forfeit? No, because you have to earn the loss or the victory on the field. There's no such thing as forfeiting.
This game is becoming torture to Al.
I think Al doesn't like us.
Come on, Al.
You just got to come up with better answers. A little bit of brainwave here. Little brainwave here. All right, Big Al, here you go.
Been on here so long, he's now medium Al.
Yeah, he probably is. Shrunk all the way down. I like it. All right, here we go. Big Al, this is your question. There's no more A or B. I'm giving it to you. You ready?
Go ahead.
All right. Julian said, I'd better move to a new house. Last night, my next-door neighbor came to visit, and I live next door to a blank. Julian said, I'd better move to a new house. Last night, my next-door neighbor came to visit.
Ding.
And I live next door to a blank.
Ding.
Ding.
All right, Big Al. What say you? I better move to a new house. Last night, my next-door neighbor came to visit, and I live next door
to a...
What?
Game show host.
Game show host.
Ow! Really?
Kevin is laughing uncontrollably in the locker room.
That was his equivalent of a forfeit.
Wow. All right, Russell, we'll go through the motions here. What's your answer?
Undertaker.
Undertaker. That's a pretty good one. But no, it's not right, Brian.
Jets fan.
Eric?
I recycled my answer from earlier and said Jets fan.
Jets fan. I would have said something simple like, I live next door to a thief, you know? But okay, I just, whatever. Or how about a burglar or something like that, you know? But okay. All right, Big Al. It's going to be time for Nick in Boston to steal it away. You need one, Nick. You need one. Please, Lord. You ready? Brandon said to Shane, did you see the new guy over in the corner of the locker room? That guy has to have the world's biggest blank. Did you see the new guy over in the corner of the locker room? That guy has to have the world's biggest blank.
Ding.
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 Okay. Nick in Boston, you just need one, brother. You just need one. Just remember, this is a family show, okay? And the FCC can still kill us, all right? That guy has to have the world's biggest what? All right.
What did you say?
Say that again.
Jockstrap.
Jockstrap. Okay.
The biggest Pete LeCocq.
Oh, my goodness. All right. He says jockstrap. Russell, what do you have?
Helmet.
Oh, good one, Russell.
See, that's a pretty good one.
Nice.
I know. That's, you know, we need Russell to come in, and he needs to be a secret contestant, I think, because he's got all the good answers. Brian?
Man boobs.
Man boobs. Oh, I'm almost afraid to ask Eric, but I'll ask anyway.
I am with Russell. I said helmet.
Gosh! Oh, my goodness gracious. Well,
can we just send them both the prize?
Yeah. I do have to get to the locker room.
You know something? You suck.
All right. Guess what? Co-champions! Woohoo! Oh. Yeah!
Is that what we're calling it?
Yes! Oh! All right. Hang on. Nick in Boston and Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. Yes.
John, can I jump in for a second?
You may.
Because this has taken longer than my entire career.
I understand.
Oh, it's okay. It's still fun.
Yeah. Zero.
You can get me the addresses for Nick and Al. And they can get me their sizes. So I'm going to give them each a profootballguru.com t-shirt.
Oh, how about nice. That? Nice. That is very nice of you. All right, Kev, make sure you get their sizes. And Big Al and Nick for being so, shall
hang
we
on,
say.
Hang on the line.
Yeah,
gracious.
Just hang on the line. I've got you on hold. Just stay right there. For being so gracious, being so patient, and being so idiotic, you get Pro Football Guru t-shirts. So that's very, very cool. Thank you to Russell Baxter. Big E, thank you for playing the game
glad
today.
I could hang around.
Next time you appear, we'll get back to the word of the day and all that good
that
stuff.
That sounds good.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Russell, since we have Brian Morey here, we'll include Brian in the conversation, but kind of curious as to your thoughts overall. And by the way, kids, thank you very, very much for your tolerance and your listening to our Game Show Wednesday version. I really did not plan on this particular program turning out the way that it did, but I hope that you understand the spirit in which it was intended and you had some fun listening all the way, even though some of it was indeed a little bit painful. If the Patriots are fortunate enough to have another bye week before a potential playoff game in January, then we'll resurrect maybe Sports Jeopardy next time around because the match game probably needs a year to rest again. At least that would be my guess. I actually had some questions left over. I'll save them for next time. Can you believe it? I actually had questions that were left over. That's how well the host actually prepared and did his homework. So I just want you to know. Russell, we could talk about game shows all week long and for the entire hour we have you on the program usually. But what were your thoughts on the Patriot win over Denver and what impressed you the most about it?
You know, like the Super Bowl and the fact that New England dominated all three phases of the game, Denver didn't play as poorly as they did in the Super Bowl, but I thought it was thorough. And, you know, you saw smatterings every once in a while from the Broncos, but, you know, they I don't want to say they were ill-prepared. I just think the Patriots came in there with a purpose. And, that's easily the worst defensive game that this Denver defense has played all year. I mean, it's been a pretty impressive defensive performance and they kind of changed what they did this year but Brady was never really threatened that much by DeMarcus Ware or Von Miller. It was a pretty impressive performance, and I think it kind of vaults New England. And again, I know in 2 weeks they get Indianapolis, but for now, those reports of Tom Brady and him no longer being part of the National Football League, as well as the Patriots dynasty on shaky ground.
Yeah.
I always thought that you know how I felt about those to begin with, and silly to say the least. And but New England, I think, is going to be very, very intriguing for two reasons down the stretch. First off, I think it's great for them that both Miami and Buffalo are 5-3.
Yeah.
I mean, for a change, this could be a race. And I think when you have a race in the division, it makes you more battle tough when you get to the playoffs. Now, that also being said, New England's got some very intriguing games left in the season as well. At Indianapolis, they have, I'm trying to remember where the Green Bay game is.
At Green Bay. Yeah.
Detroit is at home, I believe.
Yes.
Which is a great test. They're at San Diego, I think, on a Sunday night. I think that's where the game is.
Correct.
For now.
Correct.
And they also obviously have Buffalo and Miami to play again. And again, when you play a lot of quality opponents, and it looks like that's what that at least for now is going to be the case for the Patriots, I think it makes you a better team going into the playoffs. I've thought that for years, that these teams coming out of the tougher divisions where they have to scrap and claw to get there pays off, because that's the kind of scrapping and clawing type of football you have to play in the postseason.
Absolutely. Now, all of a sudden, going into this season, no one really thought much of the AFC East. You could certainly make an argument now that because you've got three teams at 5-3 or better, you can make an argument for being the best in the NFL. Couldn't you?
Absolutely. In fact, if you really take a look, the AFC is, as a conference in general, has really kind of jumped up this year. I mean, you look at the AFC North, who has four teams, all with winning records. You look at, again, what Miami and Buffalo, Miami's playing really good defense right now. Remember the Packers game they lost basically on the last play of the game? They gave up 27 points. Well, they've given up 27 points in their last three games combined and just shut out San Diego. So all those teams on a little bit of a roll, and Buffalo's kind of settled down. as well. Great game this week with them. Kansas City and Buffalo this week, I think, is a very, very good game. Talk about two teams playing defense. And, you know, you suddenly see the Chiefs gotten hot. You've seen the Steelers certainly gotten hot. I think the AFC in general is kind of resurrected from a slow start this year. In fact, after a very sluggish start in the interconference games, John, they actually hold a one-game lead over the NFC in the head-to-head meetings right now.
Yeah, yeah, I noticed that as well.
You know, as far as the division goes, guys, I've thought that the quote-unquote weakness of the division has been grossly exaggerated. Anyway, last year I did some research on this, just looking at the out-of-division records of every division, and it went AFC West was the, I mean, NFC West was the best division, with Seattle and San Francisco pretty much dominant throughout the regular season. The AFC West was second, and the AFC East was the third, had the third best record out of the division. So that they were beating teams outside the division. It's just that the Patriots have been good, and they have beaten the other three teams pretty consistently, and that's hurt their records over the years.
Well, no, listen, I think actually that's two different matters, to be honest with you. Winning the division with ease opposed to playing outside the division. Listen, when it comes to the New England Patriots, okay, when it comes to New England Patriots, they beat everybody.
Right, their winning percentage out of the division is the same as it is in the division.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. They beat everybody. But also, when you get to the playoffs, when you think about them in the playoffs the last couple of years and not being able to win to the Super Bowl and, in fact, losing some home playoff games, which has been a surprise. I mean, they lost a home playoff game in 2009. They lost a home playoff game in 2010. They lost a home playoff game in 2012. We're not kind of used to seeing that. And I think depending on how you get to the division title, it can affect you. Now, New England can also be the exception to the rule because, you know, since the league realigned in 2002, no one has a better overall record. No one has a better home record. No one has a better road record. No one has a better divisional record.
Right. Right. Russell, while we have you a couple more moments, let's touch on a couple of games. And I want to start with Thursday's game, Browns at Bengals. And suddenly, this one really, really means something in terms of the potential playoff picture another month or so from now.
Yeah, who would have thought the Ravens, who we were just talking about a couple of weeks ago, all of a sudden they're in last place in the AFC North. Now, they're in last place at 5-4.
Yep.
So, you know, and three of their losses are in the division. But the Browns, who've already won one more game than they did all last year. You know, it's intriguing to me because the last couple of years they've split with the Bengals. It's been a home and home series, and Cincinnati defensively is not playing that great. Now, Cleveland's running game the last 3 weeks has kind of disappeared, and a lot of people are drawing that correlation with Alex Mack not being there, the Pro Bowl center. So this is kind of intriguing, but the Bengals did get A.J. Green back last week, and he certainly made a difference. But I still see Cleveland moving the ball. I think this is going to be a home-and-home series again between these two teams. It's the first time they're playing each other this year. It's funny, the AFC North and the NFC West really backloaded in terms of the divisional games. In other words, Arizona and Seattle haven't played. San Francisco and Seattle haven't played. Remember, Seattle plays five of its last six games
in
the division.
In the division,
Pittsburgh
right.
and Cincinnati played twice in the final 4 weeks.
Right.
So, just like this, Cincinnati's already swept Baltimore, but yet they haven't played Cleveland or Pittsburgh at all, and we're in week 10. So that is very intriguing. I like the Bengals here, but I think Bengals barely.
At home, yeah, I would agree. Bengals by just a smidge anyway. If you're a Patriots fan and you're trying to figure out what the heck you're going to focus on this weekend with the Patriots having the bye week, a couple of good suggestions. Chiefs at the Bills, Dolphins at the Lions, maybe even more so because, you know, you've got Detroit on, you know, lying in wait, so to speak, in a couple of weeks thereafter.
Yeah, Kansas City and Buffalo. You know, if I'm Kyle Wharton and I'm Alex Smith, get ready. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo, I think, has 28 sacks in 8 games, and the Chiefs have 27 in 8 games. So, duck.
Yeah.
And, but I like the way Kansas City is playing right now. Okay? All of a sudden, the Chiefs are in second place in the division and just one game behind the Broncos. This was a team that started 0-2. But they're really starting to get revved up with Jamal Charles again. They're really getting it revved up with the defense, fifth in the league in defense, in total defense, still a little sketchy against the run. And Buffalo, remember, they're still kind of down Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller. Kansas City beat them in Buffalo last year. That was, remember, when the Chiefs were off 9-0. That was their ninth win. I think Kansas City goes up there and beats them again.
Yeah. How about the Dolphins at the Lions? I mean, Detroit is 6-2, so they're clearly right on top of things within their own division. Miami has surprised me already, Russell, on the fact that, A, they've won 3 of 4 away from home. B, they haven't given up the ghost in chasing after New England. The Patriots have to be careful here.
Yeah, and again, you go back and look. Remember, it wasn't that long ago that they had beaten the Patriots, and then a couple weeks after that, got smoked at home by the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
And, you know, we're trying to figure out what's going on with them. But now they've kind of settled down, three straight wins. Again, giving them the third most yards in the league. And the one thing that Miami is doing that we haven't seen them do in recent years is get takeaways. I mean, there are some teams that play very, very solid defense, okay? And yet they don't come up with the big plays. But you look at what Miami's doing. Miami has 18 takeaways already this year in 8 games. They only had 24 all of last season. And the pass rush has been really, really consistent, John. 3 or more sacks in 4 straight games in 6 of their 8 games this year. So when you have that kind of thing, and you think of the Detroit Lions, who are kind of short-handed when it comes to playmakers right now. Now, I don't know if Reggie Bush is going to be back. I don't know if Calvin Johnson is going to be back. But, you want to talk about a resourceful team. The last 2 games the Lions played, they came down from 13 down in the fourth quarter to beat the Saints.
Yep.
And 21 at the half to beat the Falcons. And we always talk about the Lions this and the Lions that. But they've been pretty resourceful. And talk about defense, no one's given up fewer yards in the league than they have.
Or fewer points.
Field goal game, and I think I lean Detroit because it's in Detroit.
Yeah, just a slight home advantage there for them. The Jets I wouldn't bring up only if the fact that they're playing one of the red-hot players in the entire NFL in Big Ben Roethlisberger with 12 touchdown passes his last 2 weeks. But the Jets can set a record that not even the rather ignominious, Rich Kotite Jets could not do. And they could, even back in 1996, when things were really, really bad for the Jets, and they won in 15, they never lost 9 in a row.
So you should have asked Al and Nick, who was the only win for the Jets that year?
I don't know.
Anybody know?
I don't even know that they could get that.
Well, they didn't get anything else. Why not throw out something?
Yeah, I know. The only
actually the Arizona Cardinals.
Cardinals, okay, right.
I might root for the Jets this week. Because stand Pittsburgh.
The one thing about the Steelers is they have been dramatically inconsistent. They just got done winning their third in a row, all of them at home. But we also saw this team lose to Cleveland, and lose to Cleveland badly, 31-10. They lost to Tampa Bay earlier this year at home. They might be hitting their strides, but there's two numbers that just jump out with this game. And Big Ben, obviously, with the dozen touchdown passes the last 2 weeks. Ben Roethlisberger this year has thrown 22 touchdown passes and only 3 interceptions. Okay?
Pretty impressive.
The New York Jets have given up 24 touchdown passes and have 1 interception.
Ow. Ow.
One?
Yeah, 1 pick.
1. Now, let me ask you this. This is a Rex Ryan's defense. Who would have ever thought 9 games into a season that an interception for the Jets would be a trivia question?
No kidding. Wow, that's impressive.
1 pick.
You can almost do that with your eyes shut. If your defense had been playing
ball.
nine games with your eyes shut the whole time, you'd probably come up with at least 2 picks.
I mean, it's remarkable. And they have 3 takeaways all season. Okay? Well, and you think about their pass rush and their run defense, which are more than respectable, but their inability to cover receivers. And I'm just curious.
Pass rush would get them one.
You'd think.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, but they have 3 takeaways.
Wow.
Okay, all season. And it's been – so I know they talk a lot about the quarterbacks in New York and so on, but they should also be talking about the cornerbacks in New York, in which they really, are really shorthanded there. It's kind of – now, again – the Jets can run the ball. and the Steelers have been up and down with their defense. They don't look like they're going to have Ryan Shazier or Troy Polamalu this year. So stranger things have happened. And I think this will be a close game. But I think the one aspect here is I'm trying to figure out which New York Jet is going to cover Antonio Brown.
Hmm. Is that like a trick question? Or well, could it just be
a... That- how they fare. So.
Yeah, no kidding. Pick it out of a hat and see who wins or loses.
Listen, I know a lot of people know who Antonio Brown is. If there right now is a more dangerous wide receiver after the catch, I haven't seen him at least this year. And I mean, you know, with Calvin Johnson down and some of the other injuries around, you know, he's as good as any wideout in the league right now. Mm-hmm. And now the thing that's really making him even more dangerous is Pittsburgh is getting contributions from Martavis Bryant, who was Sammy Watkins' teammate at Clemson. Mm-hmm. He's got 5 touchdowns the last 3 weeks, Marcus Wheaton. It's a different kind of Steeler team because we're seeing more offense than really defense. But the Jets, it's really, you almost keep on thinking that somebody's lying in wait and it's going to get knocked off by a team. Because the one thing about the Jets is they do play hard and they do play aggressively. But you know you're having a bad year when a guy catches a touchdown pass when he's laying on the ground.
And that's, yeah, what happened. By the way, Brown, 71 catches, almost 1,000 yards, 996.
Wow.
Through 9 games.
And by the way, he has caught at least 5 passes in 25 straight games.
Wow. Now that's impressive. That's consistency. And so are you, Mr. Consistent. Russell, thanks for the time today. Thanks for playing our game show. And we'll check back in with you regular time next week. How's that sound?
That would be tremendous. And again, I don't want to not talk about this week's schedule, but next time when we talk Patriots?
Yes, sir.
That's going to be fun. Tom Brady and the most prolific quarterback in terms of yards in the league right now, Andrew Luck.
Yep.
7 straight 300-yard games, 8 out of 9. And, boy, you want to talk about a fastball?
He's got a fastball.
That's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's a shame the Patriots and Colts are both off this week, but that makes for a good game next week.
It most definitely will. Have a great weekend, my friend. We'll talk next week.
All right. Bill Cullen, Peggy Cass.
What's my line?
Out there.
Yeah, what's my line, baby? Good stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks for including me in the game show. I always think it's a lot of fun.
I appreciate that, Russell, and you appreciate it as well as anybody. That's why we love to have you back. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, Bleacher Report, Cold Hard Football Facts. He's all over the place, and he's right here with us in the playbook, usually on Thursdays, but we brought him in for a special bi-week edition of Game Show Wednesday this week, and somehow, some way, we'll have to muddle through the program tomorrow. Kev, what do you say we give the sponsors at least one spin today because we have not taken a break all program. Brian, you're able to stick around for another couple
sure.
of minutes? All right, so let's open up the phones. If you have a question for the executive director of the Hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon, Brian Morey, and a former...
Presented by Raytheon.
Former PFW writer, editor, and PFW in Progress show host. Hasn't been here in these studios in a number of years, but if you've got some questions for Brian, we'd love for you to bring them out. Or if you want to just ask anything that you want to ask about these New England Patriots in the bye week, 855-PATS-500. Open up the phones. Open up the email, webradio@patriots.com. The Twitter account, @JRBroadcaster. Do it. John.Rook on Facebook. Ready, set, and go.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt,
before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partners behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Can't get enough Patriots Playbook? Find the show in the audio on demand section of Patriots.com. Catch up on live episodes you missed or simply replay your favorite Playbook moments from years past. Get inside the Patriots Playbook with John Rook whenever, wherever. Only on Patriots.com and the official Patriots apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad.
Welcome back into the Playbook here for a Wednesday. It was Game Show Wednesday in the opening hour. If you missed it, you missed a lot of fun. So you can download the podcast, and then you can, you know, figure out if you think it's worth your sticking around and playing when we get to the bye week of the playoffs. If, of course,
playoffs?
We get to the playoffs.
Thank playoffs.
You, thank you, Jim Mora. Brian Morey, who's the executive director of the Hall of Fame at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, he's sticking around with us here for the last 20 minutes of the program. If you have some questions about the Patriot Hall, love for you to fire them off via email, webradio@patriots.com, or pick up the phone at 855-PATS-500. Send us a tweet at JR Broadcast if you like, or just file something on Facebook, John.Rook on Facebook, and then you can get your question there. I got to admit, I think the one thing that a lot of people want to know is, you know, number one, who are some of the candidates coming up for this next year? And number two, you know, who do you think is a likely candidate? Are we staying also with one per year? Is that pretty much
This coming year, I believe there will be two. I believe the senior committee or the veterans committee, whatever you want to call it, will meet. And that is typically the 10 most senior members of the Hall of Fame committee. Mm-hmm. Guys like Ron Hobson, Dick Sarasulo, Carlo Emilio, I think Ernie Adams might mm-hmm. be in that group. And they can look at one player who has been retired for 25 or more years mm-hmm. and has been a previous finalist on the ballot but not been elected by the fans.
Got it.
So a candidate this year might be Larry Eisenhower. It could be Chuck Fairbanks, Leon Gray, players of that ilk.
Pains me to say it since he was an Oklahoma coach, but Chuck Fairbanks probably deserves that.
Well, you know, that's a great point, John, because I've nominated Chuck Fairbanks on multiple occasions, and it wasn't until that he died that the committee actually put him on the ballot as a finalist. And, you know, we talk about Bill Parcells a lot, and I've always said that he was Bill Parcells here before Bill Parcells. He put the Patriots on the map
True.
When after the merger.
Mm-hmm.
They were awful. And he came in and he built that team. He drafted the likes of Hanna and Grogan and Stanley Morgan and Tim Fox and that whole group of players that was the core of the 70s and even into the mid-80s Super Bowl team. He built a core of that team. And that 76 team that, you know, kind of got screwed out in Oakland on the phantom roughing the passer call that many people thought could go on and win a championship. The 78 team that was the first to win the division and host a playoff game, that was the year he kind of left. Not kind of left, that he left
he did, yeah.
in a sort of a rough fashion, much the way Bill Parcells left.
Mm-hmm.
And that always comes up in the committee, too, about how both guys left here. That, to me, doesn't matter. And then, you know, so I think he was the first one to really give the NFL's version of the Patriots credibility. And so I've always thought that he should be in ahead of Bill Parcells.
So the process then is to consider players that have been retired for how many years?
4 years.
4 years.
So 1 year ahead of the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
1 year ahead of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And so will there be a group of players that will be up for consideration or up to the fans to vote for the inductee?
Yeah, I think this year you're going to be looking at you know, guys like Rodney Harrison is eligible. Willie McGinnis is eligible but has not yet been a finalist. I think, you know, you'll go back. Leon Gray, Ron Borges on the committee a couple years ago made a very compelling argument for Leon Gray. Certainly if John Hanna was sitting in here, he would tell you that Leon Gray should already be in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, you have somebody like that. You know, probably, yeah, it's so tough right now because you have your Super Bowl era players retiring. And, oh, Raymond Claiborne, who was a finalist last year. But
Bill Parcells?
Parcells, who's been a multiple time finalist.
And also now in the NFL.
Yeah, Pro Football Hall of Fame. So I think when you look at it, though, you know, people sort of say, well, it's going to be tougher for these older guys to get in. But I think winning championships is a piece of the puzzle. The guys that won championships that were also Hall of Fame, team Hall of Fame caliber players, they do have an edge.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers have how many? Nine Pro Football Hall of Famers from their 1970s Super Bowl teams?
Well, they should
because
have.
Because they won.
Yeah, they were dominant.
Right. I mean, Andre, now, unfortunately, it sometimes works the other way. Andre Tippett, who clearly is one of the greatest linebackers to ever set foot on a football field, took a long time to get in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Because he played on some really bad teams.
Correct. I mean, honestly, you put him on the Giants, and he's first ballot. If you put him on the Giants in place of Lawrence Taylor, he's a first ballot.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I would agree.
You know, so it'll be interesting this year. The committee meets in April, and then the fans obviously select the winner. But I believe we will be having a senior committee member this year as well.
Nice. All right, so that's good to know. Figured you might want to know because every once in a while we get a question or two about, mm-hmm. you know, who's worthy, who's coming up, who's could be, you know, up for consideration.
You're going to have Matt Light, Kevin Falk. Those guys will be coming up in the next couple
Again,
of years.
Again, Super Bowl-era guys that are retired now that will be coming up. And mm-hmm. It would not surprise me to see that caliber of player, whether or not you think he was a great player or not, but because he was a part of Super Bowl teams, they're probably going to get good mention.
Well, Kevin Falk's a great example, okay? Now, Kevin Falk was not, you know, a 1,000-yard rusher every year.
Wasn't even an every-down player.
Correct. But to me, he is the epitome of a team Hall of Famer, much the way Teddy Bruschi is that. You know, I don't think Teddy Bruschi's ever going to be a finalist in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But Teddy Bruschi defines a Patriots Hall of Famer in many ways.
Sure.
And Kevin Falk, to me, falls into that. Now, you get some argument for Mosey Thatupu. You know, I was a little young, but I did watch Mosey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't put Mosey in that category. Maybe I would if that team had won some championships. But Kevin Falk, to me, was a key member of those championship teams. You know, many big plays in big spots, you know, much the way Troy Brown made many big plays in big spots to help the team win a championship.
All right. So that, of course, is something to look forward to. You know, I'd be remiss. I got a couple of questions that I'll throw out at you here from some of the fans, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you what your thoughts are, because I love, you know, you and I are Facebook friends, so I see a lot of your posts during the course of, I don't know, if you're sitting in your office and you're fighting off the frustration of not being a radio talk show host anymore or being a former PFW
I just
writer.
I like the dialogue.
I know you like the dialogue. It's you know, once you've gotten into it, you can't get away from it, and that's why I like having you back in here from time to time. And there are, I'm sure, those who have been around, at least following this program over the course of the last 14 years that we've been doing it, that remember you when you were, you know, doing PFW in Progress a number of years ago as well. What are your thoughts on this team and the way they've started out, plus the 5-week turnaround that has gotten them back now in all the stinking power polls to the top team in the NFL?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll talk about Sunday first. The most impressive part about Sunday's game to me, you go into that game and you know Peyton Manning's going to make some plays. Okay, they're going to make some big plays down the field. They're very vertical, obviously, in their passing game and have plenty of weapons to do so.
Yeah.
But to look at the stats from that game and see 3 for 11 on third down and 0 for 4 on fourth down.
That's amazing.
And those were necessary fourth downs. So you're talking about 3 for 15 in those situations.
Conversion situations.
That
yeah.
to me against the Peyton Manning run offense
phenomenal.
Is super impressive. Now, what is the team? I don't know. A couple weeks before that, Geno Smith went up and down the field on him and probably converted. I'd have to look at the numbers, but probably converted 8 of 12 third downs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I don't know whether that's game plan oriented, whether that's Coach Belichick saying we're going to sit back against the Jets, not give up a big play, and go with the fact that we don't think Geno Smith can beat us. He nearly did.
Yeah.
You know, it took a block field goal. It was a long field goal, but it took a block field goal to hold on in that game at home against the Jets, who are 1-8. Yet on Sunday, I thought the defense was tremendous. Yeah, they gave up 400 passing yards, but that was irrelevant. You know, I thought that the big down situations, the Patriots won them. Now, I think one problem we have in the league, the Patriots have been affected by it. So have other teams. The Patriots have benefited from it as well at times, and did last week a couple times. Certainly, what was the game early in the year where they had the pass interference call? I forget, but
they had a bunch of those.
In their favor. Julian Edelman down the left sideline near the end zone on a third down play. The Raiders game, I think
it
was.
Yeah, Raiders. Okay.
But I think the officiating is – I can't stand the way the defensive backfields are being officiated. Every time there's an incomplete pass, the receivers are looking up asking for the flag. It's gotten out of control. The contact should have to create an advantage for one player over the other. The point of emphasis clearly works against the defense and is designed to work against the defense.
Correct.
But I have had this. If you're going to call spot fouls down the field, in my opinion, you better be damned sure that the defensive back gained an advantage with the contact. A lot of times you have receivers that are initiating contact with their hand, the defensive back, you know, kind of, they just kind of hand fighting. That's not a penalty.
But again, by the letter
or
of the rule,
be.
And I think this is part of the reason why we were all frustrated with the litany of flags that were happening, especially early in the year, is the fact those guys in the defensive backfield, the back judge, you know, they are calling any contact they see without judging intent whatsoever. I don't think that was how the rule was intended
to
be.
And to me, it ruins the game.
Of course it does.
You know,
slows into a crawl.
I watch very little NBA basketball because of the way the game is officiated. Now, I like football too much to probably go that route,
mm-hmm.
but it's so frustrating, especially when you're talking about 40-yard penalties that really can affect the outcome of a football game. When you have two guys hand-fighting down the field, and if it goes the other way, they don't throw the flag half the time. You get your offensive pass interference calls on pick plays and stuff around the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Wide receivers are given virtual carte blanche down the field. You know, I saw it last week. There was going to be, I don't know what game it was in, but the ball was going to be intercepted. The offensive player clearly interfered, and there's no flag. The Patriots had one earlier in the year, maybe the Buffalo game, where I thought it was, I stood up, I said, that's offensive pass interference. He threw the flag. I said, yes, thank you. And it was defensive pass interference.
Yeah.
You know, they can't win. They can't win, those guys in the defensive secondary.
You think the NFL ends up tweaking this further after this season?
I think as the season goes on, hopefully you'll see it let up a little bit. Anytime you have a point of emphasis, they have to come out of the gate.
And they really have to emphasize
and be really diligent about it. They certainly don't want playoff games decided like that.
Hmm.
That'd be a
nightmare.
You get complaints all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the referees don't call certain things in the playoff. But I certainly don't want playoff games affected by ticky-tack calls. If you're going to call pass interference, like I said, and hand a team 40 yards, make sure it's a good call. And that means, and I've asked the officials this, when I was covering the team and the officials come to training camp, this has been a pet peeve of mine for years, John. And I you know, the media gets to talk to the officials. I talked on the side, and I said, you got to explain to me pass interference. I need to know what you're looking for. And that's what he told me. We're looking for one player to gain an advantage over the other.
Right.
And so now that's how I watch it. And, you know, I have the benefit of replay. And so, you know, I could.
But now so do they. That's just
well, not
the
on pass interference.
Well,
but
they should.
But the fact of the matter is that most of the time, I think in pass interference calls, I disagree with the call, and that's a shame. You know, the illegal contact stuff, I'm more okay with some of that. You know, I think, again, 5 yards has to have some gray area. I mean, mm-hmm. you get guys that when they're jamming off the line of scrimmage, the receiver is kind of trying to block. And, you know, if they're setting pick plays and they're trying to create some contact, I think the officials just need to use more judgment. Not everything can be black and white, even though the league would like it that way.
Let me throw in a couple of questions here. On Facebook, Umar says, do you think the bye week's going to slow our momentum? I'm surprised Bill Belichick didn't give the team the entire week off. Or is it normal procedure for all teams? Well, he didn't give them the whole week off. They did practice today. They will be off tomorrow through Sunday and then reportedly back in here early Monday morning. So they're going to get 4 days off.
Yeah, I think today is a day, John, where you look at some of the things that you want to correct. You know, today is not a Colts practice. It's looking at some of your problems you've had through the first half of the season and saying, listen, these are some situations we need to work on, we need to improve upon, whether it's your run fits or things of that nature. And then you get a weekend to clear your head. You come back Monday and you get early start on Indianapolis. Indianapolis has the same scenario because they have a bye as well.
Exactly. He also mentions, I hope the Vikings cut Peterson because of salary cap and that the Patriots sign him. I don't know that ever happens. What are your thoughts on Adrian Peterson coming back to the NFL?
I hope he's learned. I think that I find it hard to believe that someone in today's day and age doesn't know how wrong it is to do what he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was raised that way, apparently.
Yeah, he was. Yep. I understand that. I mean, I'm Southern. I understand what it means to get hit by a switch. You know, it didn't happen often for me, thank goodness, but I understand it. It was just part of the culture.
So I would say that, you know, a second chance is warranted. But, you know, he better be on his best behavior. I don't know how long it should be, John. Should he be out for the season? That's up for the league to decide. I think the league has a PR issue coming off of that and Ray Rice, and so they better make sure, you know, they had, you know, obviously women's groups up in arms after the Ray Rice suspension. It would be no different here. You're talking about children and child welfare here, and I have three. Listen, I was spanked. I've never spanked my kids. I don't know whether that's the right thing or the wrong thing. I discipline my children the way I see fit. They get disciplined. Certainly not. I've always thought it was funny to say, you know, stop hitting. If he's hitting, your brother and sister are fighting and your parents say, stop hitting.
Yeah. And they reach in and they hit him. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
That doesn't send that message. But, you know, people parent differently. I think it would be warranted for Adrian Peterson to be out for the season. But hopefully he's learned a lot from this. He can sort of rehab, not his image, but his behavior. And understand and go through some classes to understand why you can't do that to a child.
Knowing what you know about the Patriot organization and what they've done in the past, would Adrian Peterson be the type of guy that they could pick up if he were available?
I don't think they would.
I agree with that, by the way.
And listen, I don't think that Bill Belichick is trying to, I'll use the cliche, fill his locker room with choir boys.
Yeah.
You know, I think they've taken some guys that would be the equivalent of second chance type guys before. I mean, Corey Dillon wasn't exactly a choir boy, and he came here and kind of fit in with this group in this locker room. But given the landscape around here right now, I don't think Adrian Peterson would be here.
I don't think he would be either. Brian, be remiss if I didn't ask you to tell us what's going on with the Hall and how fans, especially those that are living far away from here, how they can be involved, how they can get in part, how they can get in touch, how they can see things, how they can do things. What can you tell those that are listening from long distance?
Well, I think, you know, the Hall right now, we have an exhibit on display right now. It's really focusing on the 20 years of craft ownership as our sort of our temporary exhibit, looking back at a team that in those 20 years has won more games, more division titles, conference titles, Super Bowl titles than any team in football, and the impact that Robert has had in league matters and whatnot. So, you know, obviously we're a team museum, and that, you know, that seems like an obvious exhibit. But I think it's important for us to really reflect on that. You know, I read something recently on Boston.com where they said the museum was really a tribute to just the most recent history. And mm-hmm. I would disagree with that. I think you get it all when you come to the hall. You see the tough times. Obviously, Super Bowl championships and things of that nature get a little more attention. But I think that the hall covers it all. But one of the things we're looking at now is we're working on an exhibit that will look at how sports and from a local angle helps us deal with tragedy mm-hmm. And the story behind that, whether it's, 9/11, the marathon. We're in the beginning stages of looking at that and really trying to tell that story in a way that honors the people that are involved, whether it be, first responders and the sort of heroes involved in that situation.
Patriots Charitable Foundation has a marathon team that runs every year.
Yeah, I mean, and certainly when you look at, just the marathon situation, you had Joe Andruzzi and Matt Chatham sitting in the restaurant right where one of the bombs went off with Joe's foundation and carrying people to safety. I mean, it always seems like Joe's in the middle of it, right?
It certainly
does. And maybe there's a reason for that. But I think it's important to really look back and see how sports helps bring us all together. One of the most moving post-marathon bombing moments was that Boston Bruins national anthem at the Garden. I mean, it was an emotional national anthem with the entire building singing the national anthem. So we're looking at things like that for our changing exhibits. We're looking at bringing in a temporary exhibit next year from the Charles Schulz Museum.
Neat.
Called Pigskin Peanuts.
Nice.
It'll highlight all the football-related comics that Charles Schulz wrote. Something for Peanuts fans and for
Charlie
the kids
Brown
to come
trying
see.
To kick the yeah. football from Lucy, that kind of thing.
Ugh! Yeah. And then, we always have our speaker series, which we've been a little, we've had some downtime trying to get secure players right now. But we had last Saturday night, we had some of the guys from the three-time Super Bowl championship teams in, Richard Seymour, Roman Pfeiffer, Kevin Falk, Patrick Pass.
Cool.
It was a terrific event. So, you follow us on Facebook at the Hall of Patriot Place, Twitter, Instagram, and our website, thehalloffpatriotplace.com. You can get all the information.
Thank you for taking the time to sit in with us today, play a little game show Wednesday, and for
thank you, sir.
Filling us in on the details. We'll have to do this again, maybe before even we have another bye week.
Oh, thanks very much. I'll come in anytime.
Playoffs? Playoffs? Playoffs?
We're trying to win a game.
We're trying to win a game. Not a game. Not a practice. A game. A practice. Oh, now we're mixing sports metaphors.
He just said practice more times than he's been to practice.
Allen Iverson. I'll never forget that one. All right. Brian Morey and Eric Scalavino and Kevin Collins and Russell Baxter, all a part of Game Show Wednesday.
And Big Al.
Big Al from Valdosta. And we had
Nick in Boston.
Nick in Boston.
And Drew.
Ended up becoming co-champions because we were just kind of running out of patience, I think, more than anything else. All right, same patch time, same patch channel tomorrow, back in the playbook on Thursday. Prediction Thursday will be a little different because there's no Pats game tomorrow, but there will be a chance for you to make a pick and win a prize. See, we're all about giving away prizes. Bob Sosie's show is coming up next. See you tomorrow.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.